One's a baller, one's a scholar. One's a baller, one's a scholar. One's a baller, one's a scholar, but they're both assholes. One's a baller, one's a scholar. One's a baller, one's a scholar. One's a baller, one's a scholar, and they're both assholes. Asher Brothers Podcast coming every week. Sit down, kick back, and take a little peek into their lives. Their lives, their shitty little lives. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, that was supposed to get you hyped. Kirk and Kyle Asher sitting around gabbing, talking about nothing and what's going on in their lives. Their lives, their shitty little lives. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, that was supposed to get you hyped. One's a baller, one's a scholar. One's a baller, one's a scholar. One's a baller, one's a scholar, but they're both assholes. One's a baller, one's a scholar. One's a baller, one's a scholar. One's a baller, one's a scholar. It's the Asher Brothers Podcast.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Asher Brothers Podcast. Once again, this one is cobbled together from all of the pieces lopped off of episodes of NYPD Blue Balls, which normally comes out every other Tuesday on this website, AsherBrothersPodcast.com, and normally wherever you get a podcast. If you've been paying attention to NYPD Blue Balls, something has happened to the website, and I still have no idea how to fix it. It is not just because I am busy with other things. That is not the only reason. I literally don't know how to fix it, and every time I try to fix it or try to make moves to fix it, it doesn't work, and I don't know what's going on. So I hope to get it fixed soon, and since I didn't want to put out more Blue Balls when people can't listen to them, I'm putting out an Asher Brothers Podcast with stuff cut out of NYPD Blue Balls. So if you just need something to listen to, here it is for you. If you're fans of the old Asher Brothers Podcast stuff, it's a lot like that. Hopefully new episodes of NYPD Blue Balls will be coming out soon, because we are recording them, and everything will be set with the podcast. But until then, here's some stuff cut from episodes Season 5, Episode 9 through 12. Hope you guys dig it, have a good one, and I'll talk to you a little bit at the end of the episode. Just the way it hits your eye now, because we're so used to perfect HD quality. It's kind of like when you're watching, like everybody else is, I assume, The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan Bulls documentary, and they cut to the old footage of games, and you're like, fuck, we used to watch games that look like this?
I haven't seen one. That's a lie, because of Instagram. But I haven't seen 20 minutes of footage from The Last Dance.
I've been watching it with Dad. It is very good.
Yeah, that's good. Like, that's all cool.
It'll be on Netflix, I think, as soon as they're all done.
Yeah, it'll be on HBO or ESPN Plus for a while, but like my big beef is like, or my thing about it is like, we already knew most of the stuff about Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's just like video that he's like allowed to go out. You have to remember that too. Like, he approved the footage, so it's not everything. It's what MJ's okay with, I feel like. It's, like, really cool and all, but, like, I mean, I still think LeBron's a better basketball player, but, like...
Yeah,
that's gonna start some problems, but...
Yeah, that's a completely different debate from the documentary than...
Because... Yeah, I mean, I'll watch it at some point. I just, like... I'm personally over Jordan. Like, Jordan's not in the league anymore, so who cares?
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Well, I think the reason it's very good is because it kind of covers everybody and then just highlights Jordan more than everybody else. Like Phil Jackson and Dennis Rodman and Scottie Pippen and little Steve Kerr.
That would be more interesting to me than anything about him. You know what I mean?
Because they do, I'm not going to pretend they don't. They spend a lot of time on Jordan, but then they also...
Oh, I bet. He's the fucking, like, he's the thoroughbred horse, man. Like, that's why people are turning into it. I get it.
But there are moments, like, when they started talking about Phil Jackson, where it's like, oh, wow, like, I don't know anything about any of this, because I only got into basketball slightly recently.
Yeah.
But watching it, it also doesn't help that ESPN is putting him out weekly. Because it's clearly edited and produced and made for the ability to binge all of it in, like, a weekend.
Well, you do know that the last episode isn't done yet.
I did not know that at all.
Yeah. So this wasn't supposed to come out until, like, December.
And they're just putting it out.
Then this quarantine, or like maybe later in the year, maybe not December, but then this quarantine thing happened. And so ESPN, Netflix, the director of the movie, they all got together and they were like, okay, realistically, like, when can we put this out? And they were like, okay, well, let's do this. Let's put these out. We can start putting them out, like, as soon as whenever the first one started airing. And then as they were going week by week, they were like, they're still finishing up the last episode. Like, they're still fixing the sound, editing it, and making sure it's final. It's probably final now, but, like, before the last two ones aired, the last episode hadn't been finished yet.
Because, and it's produced by Netflix, so I know it's going to be on their site, but it's, or on their service. It just feels very much when watching it, like, when it starts and when it ends, it's like, this is made for someone who wants to watch it like Tiger King or Making a Murder.
Yeah.
Because they also do this thing where they flash back and forward to kind of highlight the comparisons of, like, his first couple years to his later years with Michael Jordan and the team. And they do it so often in these episodes, you're like, if I was just watching this all the way through, I would have a better understanding of where we're at. Because, like, the last time we did this was last Sunday, and now I'm confused. Because I remember they won the championship here, they won the championship here, they played this team here with these players, but now we're talking about this now. And having that distance away from each episode only makes it worse. Anyway, we're talking about NYPD Blue.
Sorry.
It's not your bad. I brought it up, but it's
Oopsie poopsie. Yeah, he's probably just gonna fuck with you now. You're in trouble.
Is that coming from you?
No, that's outside.
Okay.
They're pretty passionate around here, Kirk. You're gonna have to get used to that.
Passionate fans.
All right, and you ready to go?
Oh, no, I need another 30 minutes.
All right, and you got your notes?
No, I burned them.
Okay.
Fahrenheit 451 style.
So, I'll tell this quick story, and it'll be worth it.
Okay, I doubt quick is okay, how we're going to describe the story.
It's going to be quick. So, there's this party game that I've been playing on the stream called TKO. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's basically these games where you use your cell phones and one person plays the game on their console, but then everybody chimes in with a cell phone. And In TKO, everybody draws like a couple drawings and then they write a bunch of slogans and then they get mixed up and given to everybody in the game. And then you have to make t-shirts. Somebody made a t-shirt. And I think it's the greatest thing of all time, where it's Elmo on fire. I think there's like a meme where it looks like Elmo's on fire.
Uh-huh.
And underneath it, it said 100 degrees Fahrenheit. And I was like, well, I was like, that's basically the best thing ever. All right.
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
100 degrees Fahrenheit. All right. Alright, it looks like we're both kind of at the same level. So I think this should be fine.
Like, emotionally, physically, spiritually?
Oh, I'm talking about the voice levels on the recording.
Voices. The voice. This is the voice!
Oh, man.
Well, sorry.
No, you can sing. I don't have a problem with you singing.
No, Kirk, I can't sing. That's the problem.
See, Kyle, you need to be more. I'm gonna be your Bradley Cooper, and you're gonna be my Lady Gaga. Even though I haven't.
So what? While you have a girlfriend, we're gonna fuck off screen.
I've never seen that movie. I don't know how it really works.
And then basically, when we perform at the Oscars in front of my girlfriend, I fuck each other the whole time, and make it super awkward for her.
Look, he just wanted to get into that meat dress.
He wanted to see her little monster.
Oh, that boy is a monster.
I don't know. Oh, man. Remember we liked Lady Gaga? What happened?
I think people still do.
I think it's just me. I don't really. Quick, shameful admission. I re-listened to the song Ba Wit Da Ba by Sir Kid Rock.
Why?
I don't know. Oh, I know why. It's because I rewatched the Fast and Furiouses. And
it's in it. Yeah.
And in the middle, or not in the middle, in the beginning of Tokyo Drift, during the first race scene, they start playing Ba Wit Da Ba, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this song exists.
Well, of course, because you have to establish that it's a white kid racing in the beginning by playing Ba Wit Da Ba.
And the one thing that makes that song not hold up, he mentions the chicks with beepers, and I was like, chicks don't have beepers, Kid Rock.
Back in the day, they did, Kirk. Everyone had a beeper.
Fuck, God.
How are you supposed to get a hold of somebody?
Carrier pigeon? Owls, like Harry Potter?
Fucking the Pony Express?
Kirkendall says he should go on Sally Jesse Raphael, which that's a 90s reference.
Yeah, which, like, okay, so I was trying to remember, like, what I knew about Sally Jesse Raphael.
Mm-hmm.
Was that, like, the Jerry Springer of the time?
I think it was, like, the Jerry Springer without the fighting.
Yeah, right, obviously. Jerry Springer, like, brought the fighting.
He brought the heat.
But, like, you know, like, is Ricky Lake part of that, too?
Yeah, Ricky Lake is a part of that, and Jenny Jones.
And Maury. At some point.
And Montel. I think...
Oh, motherfucking Montel.
Yeah, when I was in college, during my lunchtime between two classes, me and three other guys had that time off, and we'd go get lunch, and it'd also be the same time that Montel was airing, so we had Montel lunches. It was super fun.
Montel lunches.
Montel lunches. One of my memories was, like, they were talking about illegal immigration. It was one of Montel's serious episodes. Where he got serious.
And is that where he brought on, like, four urban youths that needed help, and then they brought a drill sergeant out to yell at him for 4 hours?
Yeah, it wasn't that one.
Changed their lives. It wasn't one of those? Okay.
It was one where he brought out illegal immigrants to talk about their story. And he's like, you know, in this country, you could pay $20 an hour to go out there and pick these... this vegetation, like these workers, and no white kid in America would take it. And me and my friends looked at each other, like, $20 an hour, though? $20, like, with benefits? Or what are we talking here? And then we started talking about what would that job have to offer for us to say yes, and how ridiculous it was for him to say no white kid in America. I was like, I'm pretty sure there's some white kids that would do that.
Recognize is that the reason they pay them so little so they can keep the prices also for all that fruit so low as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they actually paid them $20 an hour, do you know how much, like, strawberries would cost?
Yeah, exactly.
Not saying that they don't deserve it, but, like, I don't think people would be ready for, like, how much change there would be if you actually paid people a living wage.
Yeah, same thing with all of our phones and devices.
Oh, for sure. Okay, if we're going to talk about this now, what did Cool Runnings do to NYPD Blue?
I think Cool Runnings was just very popular at the time.
I guess I didn't write down, like, the note good enough. But, like, I feel like they came hard at Cool Runnings for some reason.
I think it was almost like a South Park thing where they were doing an episode, they found an episode with Jamaicans, and they were like, we should put in a line about Cool Runnings because that's a popular movie right now.
Fair enough. Feel the rhythm.
Feel the rhyme. Get on up. It's bobsled time. Cool Runnings. Look, I may say that all the time when I'm getting ready to do something that's going to require some focus and work. I also like to say, Seika, you dead? Yeah, man.
But Cool Runnings gets a lot of shit, though.
For what, being hilarious?
Well, no, because it's like a white savior movie.
Well, also, I think it was, what's the team, what's the, was it the German team that's the evil team?
It's the Swedes or the Swiss, which is a team that wouldn't be racist.
Well, no, the Swiss are the team that they look up to, but they never talk to in the movie. I think it's the Germans that treat them like shit. And
is
I think
it the Germans?
I think it's the Germans, and the German team, like, after the movie came out, was like, what the fuck? We were not like that to them at all. We were very we were very supportive. I don't understand.
But it's a white savior movie because, like, the four black guys can't do anything without John Candy. Like, they can't really accomplish their goal without, like, John Candy being there for them.
To be fair, that movie doesn't go anywhere without John Candy, I think. Like, the movie itself, because John Candy's very funny and very charismatic, and everybody loves John Candy.
To be fair, like, rewatch that movie, it's not that good.
Okay, to be fair, you're wrong, but...
To be fair, it's like the same with, like, The Rookie of the Year. Like, that movie's good, but, and I remember it, and I have, like, fond memories of it, but I rewatched it the other day, and it is fucking horrible.
Okay, well, you know, that's just your love of baseball. Like, that's just your love of baseball clouding the issue.
Bad cuts, bad, like, it's just not a good movie.
Anyway, Skilly... He's like, I couldn't do that myself. And he's like, yeah, well, you're the sensitive type.
Is that a shot?
Yeah. What sucks is this guy is, like, crying and admitting to them, and they have, like, nothing but contempt for him. And when he goes to write it down, they give him a pen, and I think Sipwood says, I bet you have excellent penmanship. Which is like, okay, that's an odd dig.
Yeah, that is an odd dig.
I bet you have excellent penmanship.
Gay people write nicely.
I bet you're...
Look at that homo over there. Bet you he has great calligraphy skills.
I bet you he's writing all types of shit on that stationery.
I bet you could never be a doctor because you're going to read his prescription.
That's part of medical school, writing prescriptions horribly, and he can't even do that right.
Now, did you ever hear that, though? I heard that a lot because I have shitty handwriting.
Oh, yeah, I hear it all the time.
When I was growing up, I heard that a lot. Like, oh, you should be a doctor with how bad your handwriting is. And it's like, is that supposed to be, like, a dig? Because, like, I ended up not being a doctor, but, like, I don't feel like that's a dig. Like, I feel like if I end up being a doctor because my handwriting's bad, that's pretty fucking cool.
Hey, you share equality with people that are well-respected and well-paid. Like, oh, okay.
Saved cool. lives.
Cool. All right.
And considered some of the smartest people in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Thanks.
All
right. She lets Fancy know where Medavoy's and Martinez are, and then she lets him know that she's dealing with some personal complications that are trying to flatten her like a cartoon character, and then she refers to Roger Rabbit from Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which was also very cool.
Great movie.
Super great. That's on my list. We've been talking lately about lists of best movies ever, and Roger Rabbit is on my list. That's a fucking great movie.
As the best movie ever?
Yeah, it's awesome, and it hangs together perfectly, and it involves technology never really seen before, because no one's been able to do it right since.
It hangs together perfectly.
Yeah.
Perfectly.
It does. We don't have time to have this argument right now, but yes, it does.
So it's like the Citizen Kane of our time is what you're saying.
No, the Citizen Kane of our time was Space Jam, but... and the fact that LeBron James is remaking it and not Blake Griffin makes me angry, but... that's just the world we live in.
What makes me angry is I don't want to see any of them in a movie.
Well, what, I mean, this is a dumb thing to have a conversation about, but Michael Jordan himself was asked if they were to redo Space Jam, who should it be, and he said Blake Griffin.
And yeah, Kirk, because he doesn't want LeBron to go into Space Jam, it make like a fucking $1 billion, and then everyone's gonna go, Michael never made $1 billion, and he can't ever come back from that. Don't get it twisted. Michael Jordan is all about legacy. He's not about making a good fucking movie. He doesn't give a shit about any of that. Michael Jordan just doesn't want LeBron James to be more popular than him. That's why the Space Jam movie is going to suck either way.
Well, the Space Jam movie is going to suck either way because the first one's not a good movie. We just like it because we were children.
The best parts of those movies are Bill Murray in the beginning and the end. That's it.
And Charles Barkley, because it's unbelievable that he's trying to act. Like, why couldn't you just live out your dreams in Australia? I don't understand.
I don't know, man. Some people just, like, want to come here. I mean, not right now, but...
Right now, we're like Disneyland after someone dies.
What? Would they do nothing?
Yeah, basically. They shut down the ride for a couple weeks and announce some new thing.
Yeah, we fixed that coax craculator line. What? Yeah, we fixed it. It's all good now.
You may have heard online that a piece of the ride broke off, flew several yards, and then decapitated a man. That's what you may have heard. And they were right. However, Star Wars Land, huh? Star Wars? You guys love Star Wars. You may have heard that a guy was cut in half by a Big Thunder Mountain, but we're getting an Avengers Land!
Hey, like, it's gonna make our ticket prices, like, soar, and not all of you are gonna get to go see it, because you have to, you know, like, register, and we're gonna give priority to, like, pass members and blah blah blah. But at some point you'll get to see Star Wars Land. But yeah, keep paying. Thanks.
Hey, and then while you're there, pick yourself up a $350 lightsaber, or a $50 drink. Or spend $150 to build a droid that you're gonna do shit with when you get home.
Remember when Disneyland was cool?
Disneyland was never cool. We were just young. I think we were just tricked a lot easier when we were younger.
Like, I would never... I don't think I'd ever take my kids to Disneyland.
Yeah, I don't know if I would.
Like, well, unless it was, like, during a weekday. But I'm not going on a weekend.
You as a... I just pictured you as a dad at Disneyland, and it gave me so much joy. Because it would be hilarious to see.
Like, I'm not going to be around all those people for a fucking Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Real quick, a quick impression of Kyle at Disneyland. Why the fuck is it so hot here? It's so fucking hot. Can't we get some goddamn misters or something? And why does everyone gotta touch me? Why does everybody gotta be on top of me right now? Okay, why can't we get some space? That's you. That's what you sound like.
Whatever, dude. I was at the corner store earlier getting something, and I was going to pay, and I turned around and someone was standing, like, right behind me. And so I asked very politely, "What the fuck are you doing?" And I got a huh, and I was like, "Why are you standing in my ass? Back up." Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to do.
Oh my god.
Anyways. Yeah, Kirkendall catches it right away.
She sees it and goes, "Yep, that bitch pregnant."
No hesitation, no surrender. Galaxy Quest.
Great reference. I was going to do a Tim Allen bark, but I'm not going to. Home Improvement. So there's three
Tim
different...
Tim Allen, Royal Douche.
Hey, Kyle.
Who would have thought a guy who sold cocaine and got caught trafficking it was a douche? Was still a douche.
Hey, look, they're canceling his show because of all the libtards. Not because it's terrible and the only idiots like it.
Yeah, what was his show called?
It's like Last Man Standing, I think.
Not anymore.
They had to move it over to, like, CMT or the MAGA network.
I can't believe it wasn't like a Fox News like break.
Because it was like
a break between all of their fucking like news shows. Here's a 20-minute show you'll all enjoy.
Because he wears
racist lies.
He wears boots and he lacks guns and he doesn't want people dating his daughter. That's why the libtards hate it. It's like, okay, it could just be bad.
Yeah, most TV is bad. Like, well, let's be real.
And you can find him at the First Baptist Church.
Downey?
I said the same thing in my notes. That's where I spent a lot of my time, listeners. The First Baptist Church of Downey, which changed its name, by the way. It's no longer the First Baptist Church of Downey.
What is it now?
I don't know, some bullshit name to make kids think it's a fucking cool place to go. I wish I remembered, but they changed the sign and everything. It's not the First Baptist Church anymore.
Who cares?
Because, you know, one thing that really God wants you to do when you're trying to tend to the flock, rebranding. It's very important to rebrand and market well.
Well, if The Wire taught me anything, when you have a shitty product, you have to keep changing the name to keep people interested. So,
step on it.
With religion, people just keep hopping from church to church because it's new and exciting.
Hey, what do we do about the word that's not speaking to the people? Step on it. I gotta tell you this shit. What was that rapper that used to do that? Murder! Who was that?
Was it Ja Rule?
Might be Ja Rule. The Firefest guy?
Huh?
The Firefest guy?
Yeah.
That's. I mean, he's trying to separate himself from that, but that's how I refer to him always.
That's how everyone should refer to him, because he fucking bilked a lot of money out of people and fucking got off scot-free.
Yeah, and then, especially the documentary, when you ask him, it's like, yeah, well, you know, it wasn't my idea, you know. I wasn't really involved. And it's like, you were involved every fucking day, you jackass.
But the question is about that fire, the documentary, is how did no one in the beginning get suspicious about a private island with fucking Ja Rule as one of the headliners? Like, what year are we in? Someone already made that point, but like, what year are we in that anyone, especially anyone who was duped by the Instagram influencers who promoted that product, right? So like, that's also part of the documentary on how like these Kendall Jenner types were a part of the problem.
Oh yeah. Because,
okay. Out of anyone who follows fucking Kendall Jenner and all those people, who's, like, following those girls and those Instagram influencers and being like, oh, man, I'm really glad that they're listening to Ja Rule and we're gonna go to this fucking private island with Kendall Jenner and Ja Rule. Like, Kendall Jenner doesn't give a fuck about Ja Rule. Neither do those kids who listen to it, so that should have been your first problem.
What I love about those Firefest documentaries is you watch one... you watch one of them, and they're like, here's what happened, and here's the marketing team called Fuck Jerry. And they didn't have any idea what was going on. Look, Fuck Jerry, they were just told, market this thing, make it
fuck
look
those
like...
guys.
Yeah, they're like, they were told, market this thing, make it look like something that people want to go to, and that's what we're paying you to do, but we're going to keep you in the dark about everything, but market it. And then if you watch the second documentary, they're like, by the way, we tried to talk to the Fuck Jerry guys... But guess what? They're producing their own documentary that's going to be on a different streaming service. So you're like, oh, so the documentary produced by the marketing agency spent a lot of time taking all the blame off them for what happened. How convenient.
Yeah.
How nice to just pay for a documentary to go like, look, we didn't know.
And the Fuck Jerry guys also like used to steal jokes. Used to steal people's memes, used to steal people's shit, and then not credit them. And then until they started getting called out, and then they were like, oh, well, we didn't know it was that big of a deal.
Yeah, so definitely fuck those guys. Because it's, like, it's like if, what's a great example? It's like if, well, I mean, it does make, it's almost the same thing. It's like, because Goodfellas is told from the perspective of the dude who ratted.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, well...
exactly what that doc is.
It's like, oh, yeah, well, I mean, I didn't do anything. I was just told to do this, and that's what I did. That was what I was paid to do. But, you know, what happens, happens. And then the other documentary is like, yeah, we tried to talk to those guys, but they happened to be making another documentary that came out the same day as this one. Anyway, not important. Yeah, I would agree. It would have been nice to have a little more Willy... in the story, a little less everything else.
Hey, Kirk, just, it's, take your personal decisions elsewhere, okay? Maybe you'd like a little more Willy, but I don't.
I want my NYPD Blue to be like Game of Thrones, more flaccid dick.
I still don't think there was enough dick in Game of Thrones. Compared to how many titties they were throwing out.
Well, Kyle, everybody wants to see boobs. Not everybody wants to see penis.
But I mean, really, if you think about it, right? When men show their penis, they're showing more. Because you get two balls and a cock. Whereas women, you only get two titties. So, you gotta make up the difference, too, you know? It's a 3-to-2 ratio.
3-to-2 ratio.
Oh, so if I go out there and I throw out three dicks, I get four different girls with titties, it's 9-to-8. I'm still up.
Thank you once again for listening to this episode of Asher Brothers Podcast, which is sewn together with pieces cut out of NYPD Blue Balls. I want to forego all of the rate and review stuff for the podcast, just to let you know we are recording new episodes of NYPD Blue Balls. I have stuff to put out. I just don't want to put it out while the website is still causing problems and we can't get it to those podcast platforms that people like to use to listen to the show. I hope you're still listening to the show however you can, whether it's through our website, AsherBrothersPodcast.com, or episodes saved on different platforms like Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. Thank you for listening this long and putting up with our amateurish abilities. I hope to have it up and running the way it used to be as soon as possible, even if that means changing up how we host and all that jazz, but I just don't have the time to fix it right now. It will be fixed, and it will be putting out new episodes of the show. Until then, stay safe, wear a mask, please be safe and courteous to those around you. Peace.